Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Everyone has a story to share, and we invite you to share yours tonight with us. Many of us have had personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking, and we really invite you to join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. Your co-host for this Signs of Life radio show will be Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, Dr. Betty J. Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and the international award-winning Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World, as well as Yours Truly, Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center. The toll-free call-in line for tonight to share your story or a comment or a question is 888-627-6008, and we really want to hear from you. And a little extra encouragement. Tonight is our last show for 2025 of the Personal Experiences Signs of Life episode that airs on the fourth Thursday of the month. So you never know how important your story may be to someone in need of reassurance that there is life beyond the physical world, and it is possible to communicate with and receive signs from loved ones who have passed. And Betty and I are very happy to have Janet back, who was out last time. Hello, Janet. Hello, Betty.
Hi.
How are you guys?
We are doing pretty well. So
how about you?
I'm good. Had a nice vacation.
That's nice. That's
so
what happened.
Your mind should just be filled with all sorts of thoughts you want to share.
Well, sure. I'll get started. And then if we get a call, I'll go ahead and stop and we'll take them. But I had an interesting experience while I was, sitting in my cottage one day and looking out the window over the ocean. And, I was just kind of relaxed and enjoying. And all of a sudden I heard really clear off to the side, Janet, like really, very clear. And it was so loud that I actually looked over like to say what. And I realized there was nobody there. And my husband was at the other end of the table. And I was just like, did you hear that? And he looked up and, he pulled out his earbuds and he's like, hear what? And I'm like, never mind. And, it was interesting because I just sat there then and I thought, oh, that was a female voice. You know what I mean? And sometimes I can tell, sometimes, you really can't tell. It's a voice. This was specifically a female voice. And I just sat there and I thought, okay, well, somebody's joining me, this morning, and I was just relaxed, and about an hour later, or I don't know if it was a little later, all of a sudden, I happened to see the date, and it was September 22nd, and I was like, I know who that is. It was the co-founder. It was Fran, and I felt like she came through, and I sat down, and I'm like, okay, Fran, if it's you, give me a sign, and I'm just thinking, what do you want to send me? Something with wings for some reason. And right in front of me, a butterfly flies by. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, okay, that's cool. So that was a nice little, extra. And it was, it was the day of her passing. So it was a very significant date. I wasn't looking at the calendar, of course, at all, because I was on vacation. I didn't really care what the dates were. And I was just, it was a very nice little, surprise that she came through. And I think that, I think it's really nice that, when we, I always say this to everybody, to pay attention for those little signs or to stay open. You never know who's going to come through. Or, I was going through some notes, and I'm trying to see if I can find it. I had said something like over the summer about, you know, I wanted to engage the listeners to try something. And it was to once a week, you know, ask your loved ones who have transitioned to the other side to either during a meditation or, you know, when you're in a relaxed state or when you, you know, a dream state, when you go to sleep at night, you know, ask them to show you some evidence and, you know, or give you some type of clue that they are with you. You know, and especially on, you know, if you, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I really needed it and I didn't get a sign. And I'm like, you know, just allow yourself to stay open. Don't, you know, focus on the fact that you're not getting anything specifically right away. You know, oftentimes we do. It happens really quick, but you have to stay open and you have to pay attention. And then I wrote down that, you know, if you get a sign, thank them, of course, write it down and try it again the next week and add it on to that meditation. Like, you know, last week you showed me this. What are you going to show me this week? Or I'd really love you to come through right now because I'm struggling or, you know, whatever it may be. And I just thought that that was when, you know, I came across that little note and I thought, oh, I'm going to bring that up again because that with us not, we're going to, you know, not going to be here for a couple of months. I thought that might be something good people can work on, you know, just on their, you know, on their own time.
It sounds like good strategy.
Yes.
As we go into the busy times, they get a little more stressful and a little bit more emotional for some of us. And,
and I think also, you know, it's the solstice is coming up and it's the, we're moving into darkness to the darkest time of the year. And for many people, that's difficult.
Yes.
And for others, it's a time of just deep meditation or being alone. But for many people, it's, I have found over the years, it's a very lonely, difficult time. And I think if we think of it as, you know, moving into the dark, simply a cycle and all the seeds are planted and then we begin to move toward the light again. It's just to try to keep that whole cycle in mind when as the darkness comes. And as I get older, I don't have any stress at Christmas. You know,
good.
It's just, it is just a time to be, actually. But when I was younger, of course, with family, it was stressful, wanting to get everything done and that kind of thing. But
Well, and it brings up so many emotions, you know, because you're not only busy during the holidays, but, you know, you're missing your loved ones. And then it's heavy for, you know, many people. And it's just kind of a reminder of, you know, what they're still around. And you can connect with them. And it's, of course, it's not on the same level as when they are here, you know, next to you, but you can connect with them in some form. And it's a good way to remind yourself or for us to remind you, you know, the listeners, that you can have that connection in your own way. And, you know, it's whatever's easier for you. Some people are like, well, I dream all the time, or I never dream, or whatever it may be. Just if you want to sit in a meditation or, you know, listen to music, a lot of times, you know, people say they'll be thinking of them and a favorite song will pop up and it just makes you smile, you know, and you, and it's like, okay, see, they're just letting you know that they're around. And it's really important because it may be something simple or something little, but sometimes that's what you need, you know, at that moment. And so if people hold on to that, they're able to get through, you know, or move forward. And that's important too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we are really, it is our heritage to be deeply and profoundly connected to the other side, to be working with the other side, to be co-creating with spirit. That is our destiny. That is our heritage. That's who we are. And I think we don't, we're learning, we're really beginning to open up and learn how to do that. But I suppose if that other side just came flooding in so easily, we might just not do our own work and develop our own qualities, you know, to be open, to be attentive, to really contemplate what we do receive from the other side. And I think sometimes the silence and the darkness is good for us because it urges us to come forward with ourselves of who we are and what we have to contribute.
Right. Well, and you know, and I'm gonna jump around here like I always do, but I wanted to bring something up because I was listening to something earlier today. I don't know if anybody has heard of the telepathy tapes out there, but they are wonderful. And the second season came out, and they have two out, and Forever Family is actually part of one of them in the second episode. So if you get a chance to listen to it after our show, of course, pick up, make sure you plug in and listen to the telepathy tapes. And on episode two, one of our co-founders, Bob Ginsburg, is on, and Laura Lynn Jackson, she's on it, and it's a really good episode. And even the first episode, of course, is also good with the out-of-body experiences, and that's really fascinating. And I think that that's it's really good because I think it really opens the door for a lot of people who question, just kind of like our show, we do that when people call in and they share a story about a loved one or something that happened. It kind of opens the door for that person that's listening, that for someone else to say, hey, you know what? Something like that happened to me, or I had this experience and it's different, but it's still a beautiful experience. I mean, I want to say we're privileged to notice these, but the thing is we all have that ability to have this. Everyone can be open. Everyone, if you pay attention, if you're, something happens along the way, it can, have meaning for you, maybe not for someone else, but just for you. And that's all that matters. Don't ever let anybody down one of your stories. They don't understand it because they weren't part of it. So that's important too.
What would you have to say that you took from seeing the telepathy tapes or hearing them this time?
Well, I loved, with the out of body experiences, I think it's really important for people to be open to the fact that, people, all kinds of people all across the world are having experiences, and they're similar in a lot of ways, different in their own personal way, but they all have this similar aspect of, going out of their body. They feel that they're still alive. They have moved on past the body. And I think that that's really important because that's one thing, I'll bring up a lot of times is people are just like, well, they still have a soul or a spirit. Their spirit is still present, like I always say on my book. But the thing is it's they're still here. It's just they're out of the body. And I think that we continue on, and that's important for that. And then the second one, Bob and they were talking about mediumship and then using, brainwaves, doing, testing their brains and that. And I've been a part of that, and it's been interesting because it's great because it's putting it down to paper. It's showing people and explaining that, there is so much more that happens out there than you can possibly imagine, and I think that's important. And I think we have a caller.
We do have a caller. Hello, Romanesco. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio.
Aloha, friends. This is Romanesco in Kauai, Hawaii, and just wanted to say thank you so much for just having this radio show.
Thank you.
Listening
I'm
to this
a
show.
yeah, I'm brand new. Just heard about you guys from the telepathy tapes. So
Oh.
I had to listen to your radio show.
Oh,
That's
good. Glad
great.
to have you. Do you have an experience you want to share with us?
A little bit. So what I would like to share is that I have a background in astrology. I'm an astrology teacher. I've begun getting into OBEs and astral projection for the last few years, and my heart is open, my mind is open. And when I listen to the Telepathy Tapes podcast talking about one of your certified mediums, Laura something,
Lorlin.
forgive me if I, Laura Lynn, yes.
Yes.
And she was actually working with one of the nonverbal autistic children, helping them. It just really touched my heart and soul because I worked in special ed with those autistic children. And I knew that they were intelligent and I knew there was something going on, but I couldn't prove it. So now that I know that with the help of your foundation and others, that this is all real and scientifically real and spiritually real, I feel there's nothing more important for me that would make me feel happier in life than to learn how to become a real, not scammy, fake charlatan medium, but a real medium and help people. So I don't know if you got any ideas Because I just feel scared that if I just go and try to take a class, I'm going to get scammed and they're just going to tell me to try to meditate or something to make it happen. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and I will be honest, what you just said, that those are ways to do it, though. I hate to say it, is you a lot of times, you know, I mean, for me personally, I was having experiences pretty much all my life. However, I did meditate when I hit like my 20s or my late teens and 20s. And I didn't meditate like a specific way. Like I didn't pick up a book and they said, you can only do it this way. If you don't do it this way, you cannot be a medium. I didn't believe in any of that because I knew that, I guess I've always known in some way that we have this ability. And so I kind of did it my own way. And I did meditate, but it wasn't your, you know, you have to sit, you know, sit like a pretzel and, you know, not move and do this and do that. I just, you know, really kind of became in a relaxed state. You know, I'd either sit, you know, sit in a chair, sit on the couch, do whatever. And because my mind would wander sometimes, because I'd think, oh my gosh, I forgot I have to go do this or I got to do that, I kind of kept a pen and paper next to me. And what I would do is when that happened, I started just stopping and writing it down. Now, I know there's going to be people that are going to say, you cannot do that. But for me personally, that's the way it worked. And so I would write it down. And as soon as I let go, it was almost as if my mind said, okay, Janet, now you're in. Now you can go in. And then I would just kind of open up. And, you know, I would always kind of protect myself in a white light. And I did lots of different things. I did, you know, pranic healing. I tried holotropic breath work. I did, you know, different, you know, went to different classes. And it was just, well, I can't say I went to a lot of classes, but I did a couple. And I just, you know, tried to read a lot. I mean, you know, there's a bazillion books out. Forever Family Foundation, they have on one of their, you know, sites talks about, I mean, you can learn anything from all those. There's a ton of books out there. And it's really important that you just focus on what you're feeling as you're trying to do this. If you listen, you can take, you know, I always say if you read a book and there's one line in it that resonates with you, that book was perfect for you at that time. And I think it's the same way if you take any class, any course, if there's one thing that resonates, that's what you needed to know personally to help you in your journey. Even if all the rest you're like, well, I don't know about the rest, I don't, you know, push that aside and say, okay, that was good, but I learned this piece of information and that takes you a step further. And that's kind of what you kind of have to do. You just have to go in, pay attention, listen, you know, ask for, you know, your loved ones, be, you know, be surrounded, give you some, you know, personal messages. And like I said, I kept a journal, I did a lot of writing, and it was really important to do it my own personal way. A lot of people want to be guided. They want them, you know, to be told you do step one, two, three, four, and that is great for them. But people like me, it didn't work that way. So, you know, for me, that's the best I can give you. Does that help at
Wonderful. May I
all?
respond?
Pardon?
Of course. He would like to
Yeah.
respond.
Oh,
Oh, sure, please do.
that is okay. Sorry if I don't mean to talk over. That is extremely helpful because what I hear you saying is as we work with the nature of the ether, the metaphysical realm, there seems to almost be an unorthodox, nonlinear way of getting trained in it,
Yes.
where we have to follow the signs and symbols from our loved ones and follow, kind of create our own path with it. And one thing I wanted to say is I just wanted to share is that you know how there's different ages. There's the Iron Age, the Industrial Age, the Technological Age. What you're inspiring me to realize now is that I feel like we're coming upon a metaphysical age where these gifts and these things, these career choices, aren't going to be so different. We may be able to go on LinkedIn in 20 years, and there could be companies or governments wanting to hire people who are mediums or psychics or astral projectors or remote viewers, where children who are growing up with this and have these gifts won't be outcasted and have to hide their abilities, but they can actually be trained and learn how to do it. And this could be brought into a more normal part of our everyday existence. So I'm just very grateful for you, the Signs of Life Radio, and just all the hard work and heart work you've all put in, because you're really being leaders right now and you're inspiring a bunch of people, including me.
Wow, well,
Well,
thank you.
yeah, thanks so much. But I agree with you that we are entering into a very different kind of age, and it is an age in which we begin to realize who we are. There have been so many governments and groups in the past who've tried to convince us that we're nothing, that any divinity is outside of us, and we must simply obey the laws that a particular organization says that divinity wants us to follow. So I think we really are going beyond that, and we're not going to be satisfied anymore with someone doing something for us or telling us what to do. Is that we now know we must go within, and that we have the ability, the spiritual technology to connect to meaningful worlds, to the other world, to people who are working from that other world. And I just think we really are, it's an age in which we're really dissolving that veil between worlds. And sometimes we feel like we don't know what to do, or we just get worn out. You know, we have all kinds of feelings about it, but we just have to remember we're pioneers in really bringing forth a new age.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'd like to add something else real quick, is something you had said was also Betty, Kim and I had this discussion before on here about how we wish that every school would require like a meditation or something in the morning or at the beginning of the day, just to start it off into a positive, a positive atmosphere. So we have talked about that as well. So we totally agree with you on that. And I would like to say one last thing is, when you do any kind of meditation, when you do anything related to mediumship, you have to be in a place of love. And when you tap into that, you will feel a difference. You know, you cannot, no matter what you do, no matter how much you go inward, no matter how much you, you know, try to open up, you still have to do it out of love, because that opens the door and that shines that light through. The other side sees it, they feel it. And that's how you connect a lot of times with your loved ones, is through love. So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, actually, through, if the left and right brain are married, are functioning together, then it will flow through the heart. And the heart is love. And love is what connects us to the cosmos, to that kind of consciousness. It's the whole educational system, however, is going to have to change. And we're seeing that now. And it's already gradually changing. I just heard from people in Europe that they're planning a graduate program for a new kind of leadership, leaders who can lead us into a new age with a new worldview of really who we are, and how it's called heart wisdom, how the heart actually is the fifth brain component. And if we let, as Janet said, we love, we flow through the heart, only then can we be opened up to certain ideas, certain laws, you might say. The Egyptians knew very well that without love, we couldn't even know the higher principles of life. We would just be on a certain level. But if we could love, if we can go through the heart, then those higher principles open themselves up to us.
Yeah, that's true, Betty.
Wow. Well, I really appreciate you taking my call, and I really appreciate your wisdom. And I just want you to know that I'm here to support both of you and the foundation, and anyone who's ever lost a loved one. I am here so much so with love.
Thank you too for the work that you're doing with the children, Romanesco.
Yes,
that's very, very meaningful, with unlimited potential to change their lives, but their families, their communities. And we could probably learn a lot from them, as I bet you've already learned.
Absolutely. Yeah, I said that, Kim, because these children, they have so much that they want to get it out. You know, they want to be able to communicate it.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing this with us, Romanesco. He might have already hung up. that was great.
Yeah, I think it's, I remember one time I had to have an operation. Really, it was a mistaken operation, but I was sedated. But I remember when I was coming to, I could hear my family in the room talking, but I could not open my eyes and I could not speak. And I often think of that, how it would be to have so much that you want to communicate and you can't get it out. And of course, now there are so many ways that autistic children are learning to communicate with others and also within their own community. Mm. And as that the telepathic tapes would talk about, it's amazing. So I think there are many breakthroughs taking place there too. Marvelous and wonderful breakthroughs.
Yes. Right, right. I agree. Yeah, go on.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Janet. I just thought it'd be a good time to give the call-in number for our audience. It's 888-627-6008. Again, please join us for the last show of the year with the personal experiences episode.
Right. We won't be back until January. Yeah. I forgot about that until you said that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Janet, I was thinking about your hearing of Fran. Oh. You know, I just think if Fran could get through to her, she would have a lot to tell us, wouldn't she?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
A lot to say. I was thinking, you know, with all of our effort to communicate with the other side, we also, our left brain is still a very important aspect of our consciousness. And we love to have the science, you know, that really does show the connections. And that's what Fran and Bob Ginsberg started out with, is to have these conferences that would bring scientists and visionaries together to show the relationship. And I think that for left brain world, that's been very, very important, is to theoretically or scientifically know that, yes, these things can be, this is the way this functions and this is possible. And then know that we've got to allow ourselves to learn how to integrate the consciousness of the right brain into the left brain so that they really have, as our ancestors told us, a sacred marriage, a beautiful relationship with each other. And that allows the heart to open. So it really, while it's a metaphysical future, it's going to be a heart future, you know, the consciousness of the heart. Mm. That's
right,
the only way we can survive, really, what is going on in the world.
Oh, yes.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I know. But I mean, I'll share another quick story. Since we have time, if anybody calls, I'll stop, you know, as usual. But on the way home from our trip, we were driving, and it's like the one trip we like to drive every year. It's just a thing we do, tradition, I guess you would say. And I fell asleep. Normally, I try to always stay awake, but for some reason, I didn't stay awake in the afternoon. I dozed off and I woke up with a jolt, and I was like, oh my gosh, don't go off the road. You're going to go off the cliff. And all of a sudden my husband's like, what? And I'm looking and I'm like, oh, well, where we're driving, there's no cliff. It's just plain road on both sides. And I was like, wow, that was so weird. It reminded me of a story I had in my, that happened to me back in like 1990s, some are in the 80s. I guess it was the late 80s. And I just happened to look over at my husband and I was like, oh my gosh, there, you know, down the hill over to the one side and down a hill, there were all these cars and there was a helicopter flying over. There had been an accident. I think a car had flipped over and went down the hill. And I said to my husband, I said, oh my gosh, it's almost exactly how it happened, you know, in the late 80s when, you know, which is in my book, that story, but it was the same thing. And I said, it really kind of freaked me out for a couple of minutes because I dozed off and woke up to that vision, knowing I had that vision, and it woke me up. And I thought, I wonder, you know, if the people were okay. I don't know. They had a helicopter there. And I just was thinking, okay, just all you can do is send out love and send out, you know, light for the best outcome. But it was really strange for me. And I said, I realized that when I was on vacation for those couple of weeks, I was so relaxed that I was a lot more open than normal. And I think that we get so caught up in the world and every single day, you know, like I make a list, I have a list of what I'm doing every day and I do all this, you know, whatever I'm going, that when I didn't have that, when I just stopped and relaxed and didn't focus on what I had to do, I was a lot more open. And so, yeah, I know that's hard for everybody because we all have to live, you know, you have a job, you have this, you have, you know, somewhere to go, you've got kids in school, you have kids. I mean, there's a whole list, but if you can take any amount of time, you know, every day or every other day, or even a couple times a week to just kind of find your place, your space, you know, create a little space to sit in and allow yourself to be open for that little bit, it does open you and it does bring you more peace. I think it would help with blood pressure for sure, you know, and I think that it would give people, it kind of remind, it changes your mindset a little bit. It kind of changes up your habits, and it's opening you in a new way that maybe, you know, you were getting caught in, and, you know, you've been wanting a loved one to come through and you're like, I don't know why, you know, I keep asking, or I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. Well, change it up, change the mindset a little bit, change the habits, allow yourself to relax a little, allow yourself to go out and do something different, and let it kind of rebalance you and reset you. And I think sometimes that'll help too, because as it was happening to me, I kept thinking, wow, I got to remember to mention this, because you do get caught up in life. You know, you do go, go, go. And so this is a way to settle down and to say, okay, I just want to connect with so-and-so for 5 minutes, you know, and I really miss you, and I'd love to get a sign, and I'm sending you love. And, you know, you don't have to, you know, beg, you just simply talk to them. Like if you were talking to them across the table and saying, yeah, hey, you know, how are you doing over there? And this is what I'm doing. Just go from there. So
I agree. I think we have another caller.
Yeah, we have a caller.
Melanie from Nevada is on with us, and she wants to talk about Janet's research. Hi, Melanie. Welcome to Signs of Life.
Hi, thanks. I don't have a story this time, but I have two things, and I'll say them out and then listen if that's okay, so we don't cut each other off. The first one, Janet, you were talking about brain studies, and I haven't delved deep into research trying to find them, but I have scanned. And I'm really interested in looking at the brain studies of mediums. And I know the Winbridge Institute has some. But if you could give any ideas of what I could read, I'd appreciate it. But then the second question is, or a curiosity I had when listening to the autistic, you know, the telepathy tapes. I know that she talks about and interviews the kid, the autistic kids, when they're communicating on the hill. And I was curious if there's any research that's been done where their brain has been studied and looked at to see if it parallels a medium's brain while a medium is actively communicating. So those are
yes,
the two things I had.
Okay, well, I can answer them both with the same answer, because yes, if you listen to season two, the second episode, which is out now, with the telepathy tapes, they talk about that with mediums research. Dr. Jeff Tarrant, T-A-R-R-A-N-T, he is the first one, he's who I worked with the first time with him with the brain scans. And I started working with him because I of my languages that were spontaneously coming through. And we wanted to see what was going on in my brain with that. So that's how I got started in it, and how he actually got started in it. And it's in his book. He does have a book you could read. I cannot think of the name of it. Oh my gosh, I feel really bad. But look up Dr. Jeff Tarrant, and I think it's called Psychic something, I believe. Okay. And if I'm wrong, I apologize in advance to Jeff. But he did also work with a number of mediums at Forever Family Foundation, and they are mentioned in the telepathy tape episode two. It's mainly about Laura Lynn Jackson, and I believe it's Amelia, and they both did get hooked up at the same time. And you can hear about that story when you listen to it. And it's really fascinating, and really, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Great. Yeah, I've only listened to season one, so I appreciate that. I really was into that for sure. And then I'll just look him up by his name, and I'm sure his book or books will pop up. What did you think of all of that?
What do I think of all of it? Oh, I love it.
Well, I think your experience. Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. I loved when, you know, I mean, it was totally, you know, experimental when I went to see him. And it was really interesting, because, you know, when I explained what went on with me, he was just like, you know, like, excuse me, what are you saying? You're speaking languages? And I'm like, yes, I started spontaneously speaking languages in a holotropic breathwork. And it took years to find out that I was speaking South American indigenous languages. And so I asked him if he would be interested in, you know, doing brainwave testing on me to see if anything changes with my brainwaves when the languages are coming through. And it does. So, you know, there was that. So we, you know, did a number of, you know, tests. And I think we did like minimal mediumship. We did do some here and there. I was mainly going for that. And I mean, I really did enjoy it. And it's, I think it's really fascinating because, you know, it does show your brain doing different things when you are meditating, like when you're doing mediumship, as opposed to when you're doing like a psychic reading, you know, different parts of your brain light up. And he kind of explains some of that in the second episode in season two. And there's only two that it's only two that have dropped so far, I believe. So I think you'd be very fascinated because this season, I think the first one is on out of body experiences. And then the second one is on mediums and, you know, and I believe, you know, with like I said, I think her name is Amelia, if I have it correctly. And if I don't, I apologize for that. But it's very fascinating. And I love hearing it. And I just think that these children are amazing. And I think that it is a whole new world for everyone who doesn't know anything about, like all of us, who had no clue what was going on in their world, to see what is happening and how beautiful it is. And it almost makes you cry. You almost just, I mean, you literally listen to it and you're just blown away. But yeah, I think you'd like the second, you know, all of them. I mean, obviously, but it, you know, to answer your question, is really the second one does talk about Dr. Jeff Tarrant. And I know also with Winbridge, and I think that, you know, he worked with some of the mediums, and I think it's really important to, you know, for him to discuss it and share what he found, because people need to know that it isn't just, you know, a bunch of woo-woo. There's actually something happening, you know, in your brain while this is happening, while you're meditating or while you're getting information from a loved one and where it lights up. And I was just, you know, it's very fascinating. So yeah, that's right at my alley. I could talk about it for hours.
Janet, could you spell the man's name?
It's Dr. Jeff Tarrant, Tarrant.
Great.
Okay, and if I...
When I was listening to the first season, and, you know, these years since my daughter crossed, and I've been developing my relationship and trying to, you know, connect, it's now, if I am in the presence of an autistic individual who's severely autistic, I'll mentally send out a message, but I also qualify it and say, I may not be able to understand you if you communicate back to me. And a friend of mine is dying of cancer. She probably doesn't have much time left, but we've been talking about her transition. And I said, you know, I know we can communicate. You just have to be patient with me because I am not a medium, but I will try and I will listen and I will take your signs. But I intentionally try to just say, hey, I know that you might be able to hear me, to an autistic individual, and just again qualify it that, you know, I appreciate and respect that, but I may not be able to talk back, just to be a little bit more respectful of the situation and the position.
I like that. Yeah.
Right.
That is, no, that is respectful. Yes, we're going to all be more open.
That's right. That's right. Right.
Well, and let me just tell you real quick, I did find the name of his book. It's Becoming Psychic, Lessons from the Minds of Mediums, Healers, and Psychics. So if that helps you at
Great.
All. So
yes,
okay.
Thank you. And I'll get off so that another caller can call. But thank you for all the information in the conversation.
No problem. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Yeah. You know, Janet, I think that the time, first time I met you, it was at a conference of Forever Family Foundation, when I guess it was he who had done the work with you, and we could actually see
what was
happening in the brain. It was just so exciting.
It was mind-blowing.
To see the changes when you were speaking the languages. And I thought, oh, I've got to know this person. I've got to know Janet. Mm-hmm. And I met you that day.
I did meet you that day. That's where I met both of you. So, yeah, with that huge screen up, you know, behind me. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
I know it was. This is the age. It's just so exciting to actually, the left brain does indeed love to have some scientific evidence. And then the rest of us loves to experience it.
That's right. That's
right. Right.
Okay. We have another caller, ladies.
Great.
Okay.
Good evening, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you ladies today?
Good,
fine.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for calling us. We appreciate it.
Sure. Can you guys hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, I have a question about when someone passes, that, is it true that you should tell them that they passed away? And if you know the reason how they passed away and where they passed away, you know, the cause of it all. And is it true that you should tell someone that they passed away, so because it helps them get to the other side?
You know, in the Buddhist tradition, I have been to a ceremony in which a person was killed in an automobile accident, and they wanted to make sure that they communicated to that person that he had indeed been in an accident that took his life here on the earth, and that what he was experiencing was on the other side. You know, but of course, many, many passing over know that, but there is that tradition in the Buddhist religion to do that. Janet, what do you have to say to that?
Well, from my angle as being a medium, normally when they come through, they tell me how they passed.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't say anything to them because I don't know them. And they'll say, you know, so-and-so, and they will show me a vision or I will feel something. And I will know that they, so to me, I feel like they do know how they passed. They do know, they are aware of that. I think, you know, depending on how they passed, you know, will depend on, you know, what comes through. But I don't think that like someone I know, I don't ever say, well, you know, to someone I love, well, you passed this way, blah, blah, blah. I don't personally do that. Maybe, like you said, in some traditions, they may do that. And the way the information I've received, it's normally they tell me, so they already know that. They know that, you know, they are already, you know, they have already transitioned. They have gone through, you know, whatever they have gone through to, you know, be able to communicate. So I don't feel like have to say that. A lot of times they, you know, they already know that.
But, you know, in South America, remember a situation in which a woman had died in the hospital, sedated and that sort of thing. And the shamans were saying she does not know that she has passed and that they did a ceremony for her. Now, in my own case, when my son passed, he knew, as Janet, you say, I mean, he knew everything about how it happened. I mean, in the details of, he even said, you know, when I flew out of the window of the car and hit the truck with my head, I felt nothing. I was already out of my body when that happened. So he knew every detail. But I guess we have to say situations are different.
Right.
Can I, I don't know if you have time or you're going to take this subject, but the reason I had asked is because, see, I had an experience of my brother where this lady wanted to read my cards. We were at a function and this lady came up to me and she wanted to read my cards. And I didn't know her, but she kept asking. I kept telling her no. And then time passed on that evening, and I ended up saying yes. Okay. And so we went up to a little room, because at the function, she has her own room there. And it was, you know, her little room, and it was at the top of the house in the attic. And we went in, and she says, okay. She goes, we're going to sit right here. This is my table. You sit there, and then telling me what to do, you know, instruction. And told me that if I felt uncomfortable for me to tell her to stop, okay? So we said, okay. So she's, are you ready? And I said, yeah, I'm ready. You know, and then she grabs my hand and I grab her, or she's holding my hand on top, and then she starts meditating and telling me what to do, kind of. Then all of a sudden, the window shutters in that room blew open, because her and I both had our eyes closed meditating, and the window shutters blew open, the window blew open, and a gust of air came in, and she and I looked at each other, and then we looked at the window, curtains are flapping, the window's flapping, and then she says to me, she goes, I have to say something now, because do you know anybody by the name of da 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 da?
And I said, yes. I go, that's my brother. And she said, well, this is your brother that just came in, and he's really specific, and he wants to tell you something, and he wants you to listen and follow these orders he's giving out.
What?
Because his best friend was, I guess he saw his best friend after he passed trying to commit suicide and shoot himself in the head.
Oh my.
So my brother was like, you need to go back down to the house because we live together. And he was telling me, go in this room, go in this drawer, you know, pick certain things out. And he was telling me I needed to take him over to the man, his friend that was trying to kill himself, and tell him these certain things and take those items, because him and I are the only ones that know about those items. And you tell him that I am there every day with him on his shoulder. All he has to do is call my name, but I'm there every day with him, and I'm still there with him. But tell him that, and then go in that drawer and tell him to give you that gun, you know? And I thought, oh my gosh, okay. And so it was like, when he came in, I was like, toward the end, I was like, wait a minute, I want to ask him a question, you know, my brother. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't have any time because he gave orders out and that was it. And he was out of there in a second. So, I mean, because one of the questions I wanted to ask him was like, you know, do you know he passed away and things like that? Because of the fact, see, I don't know if you guys have time. I got one more short story on with this same person.
Oh, yes.
Because of the fact I wanted to ask him that question is because like 2 months before that happened, his friend, a medium lady that lived up in the same mountain area where he came in through the window, but it was a different medium lady I was with. Anyways, his friend, the medium lady, held meetings up there, and they'd have a circle. And she said that she came down to tell my mother. I wasn't there, but she came down to tell my mom after my brother passed away that she had their group meeting, and then they all grab hands and pray out of the meeting. And then she said that somebody kept calling her all day long, and she could hear somebody crying in the background all day long, you know. She just didn't know who it was, but she asked the members in the meeting if they wanted to help her pray about this person that she's been hearing crying all day long. They said, sure. So they started praying together. And then one of the men there asked, whom are you? What's your name? And then my brother said his name and started crying and asking, what happened? What happened? Nobody talks to me, and was crying and asking, nobody's talking to me. I go to my house and everybody's ignoring me and walking by me, and they won't talk to me. And then the man says, oh, and then the lady, his friend, she says, I know that voice. And, you know, that's my friend that just passed away. And then the name matched up. And then my brother, she said to my brother, it's me, so-and-so, your friend. And he started crying real a lot, you know. And she says, don't worry, it's okay. She goes, you passed away, you know, you died. And he says, I did. And she goes, yeah, because it was like he didn't know it. And, you know, and then the other story, it's like he said he like did, you know. So I was a little confused, but that's why I wanted to ask that question. But she told him, yeah, you passed away. And then he started crying again and just said, the only thing I'm worried about is my mom, who's going to take care of my mother, because he was helping me take care of my mom. And she said, don't worry, I'll go talk to your mom. Don't worry, your mom will be fine. She'll be taken care of. And then he cried again. And then the lady says, the Indian people are going to come meet you at Heaven's Gate. So you need to go there and tell them your Indian name, and then they're going to grab your hand and take you where you need to go. So he told her, I'm scared. And then she said, don't be scared. You can do this. You need to go carry on. Don't hang around. You know, your mom will get taken care of. And then apparently they saw a vision, and they saw two Indian men come grab my brother by the hand and take him in.
That's very interesting, because there are stories like exactly like you're telling, in which perhaps the circumstances of the death or whatever circumstances of the person, that they really are lost. And I think many, as Janet says, they know exactly, they know precisely, but it does seem like there are many stories. There was a medium during the war who did mention that too, that so many people were being killed and that there was a great confusion on the other side. So I think we just have to take all of that. Some do know, and evidently some do not. And certainly we want to be available in any way we can to help those who are struggling on the other side.
I'd like to add something to this. If it's okay, I'd like to add something too, is I want anybody, you know, any of the listeners who are listening at this time, to make sure you pay attention. First of all, if someone keeps coming up to you telling you you need to read their cards, or you need a reading, or you need this, you do not ever have to do that. I do not believe in that. I don't think someone should come up to you and be pushing something on you to get you to do something. I don't know the situation of what that medium may have known about you or not, that she kept telling you things, that she had to get a hold of you, and you know, you've had to read the cards. To me, it sounds like there's a little more going on there. So I don't really want to judge, but I do want to say to be cautious, because when you get a reading, it is nothing like that with the Forever Family mediums. They do not work that way. We are very, you know, you go to them. They do not seek you out. So keep that in mind. Never, if a medium seeks you out, to me, that doesn't feel completely comfortable for me. I mean, I'm not saying that it didn't happen. It's not true. What you went through, what you experienced, there may be that case. So I don't want to, you know, judge any of that. I do want to just say to be very cautious of people. You know, there are people out there that, you know, they already know a bunch of information on you. So if they can get you to do a reading, they can tell you all the things you already know or something you might know. And they may know that person too, that other person that supposedly wanted to hurt himself. So, you know, you have to be very logical, just, you know, like you would in your daily life. And for me, I really have never come across someone who said to me, like came through in a reading, that they didn't know where they were or what they were doing, or they were lost. They are clear-minded, just like when they're in this life, unless, you know, they were doing drugs or doing, you know, in medication, heavily medicated for some reason. If they were a little confused at the beginning, I could understand that. But I feel like when they go to the other side, they are aware of what is going on. So that is just my personal take. And, you know, I'm not knocking what you're telling us. I'm not saying anything bad about that, but I do want you to make
sure. You know, I totally agree with you. Can I say, I totally agree with you, because I kept telling her no, because I don't believe in reading of the cards. Okay. And I never have all my life.
But it's okay, but even if you do, even if somebody does like to read cards, it's fine. But it's somebody coming after you, that's the thing, you know?
I feel that, well, I went ahead and said yes for some reason. And I feel that my brother was like already sitting there and took an opportunity to go through her to talk to me. Or it was like, bam, he just came through that window and bam, bam, bam. You know what I mean? He was very persistent because of his friend. And but I believe that she was going to be telling me something totally different, and that wasn't even going to come about in that reading myself. That's what I believe. But I mean, you know, it was just crazy. And, you know, I did go down there and see his friend, and I did give him that information and said those certain things to his friend. and he admitted he had been trying to kill himself. Mm-hmm. Well, his wife didn't know about that, but he called his wife into the garage and said it in front of me to her. And because he said that, well, your brother knows, you know, my brother that passed knew. And I believe that he is there because you're coming to me and telling me these things that only him and I knew. And it was kind of sad, though, because she found out that he had been sitting in the garage trying to kill himself, shoot himself in the head with the gun in the drawer.
You know, I think running out of time, but I wanted to say that I agree with Janet. I think that's very good information that we do need to be careful.
Yeah.
And I think also in your own intuition, your own feeling, that you could differentiate what you think was true and what wasn't. But I think Janet is right. Always with caution, you know, such
right.
Support.
Right. But we thank you for calling in and, you know, sharing that with us. And I think that's a good lesson for everyone to, you know, pay attention to what's going on around them with mediums.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Helpful. Thank you.
That was a lot in there. That one would have been a long one to kind of dissect. But I guess my main message was, yes, I think, you know, I would, you know, mediums, reputable mediums are not going to go chase people down to do a reading. You know,
no.
I mean, if you're friends with someone and you mention something, it's one thing. But I don't feel like when something like that, I would be cautious. And I know that she said that she did do that and she helped that man. And I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
But we don't all know the whole situation either. So I always want people to be very cautious with that because we are, you know, very serious in what we do. You know, it's something that is really important and we want the world to, you know, come along with us in this and do all the work that we're doing. So I am glad that she called in then too. So thank you.
And I think, you know, as mediums say, that they will do the connection until we are able to do it for ourselves. The ideal is to be open and learn how to make those connections ourselves. But I think our intuition, our feeling helps us to know what is valid and what is not. And she was differentiating. There were some things that she felt very certain about.
Mm.
But I think it's time, isn't
good
it?
Good lessons, good message, good reminder. It's always helpful. So, okay, Janet.
January.
Yes, we won't see everybody until January. We're going to go ahead and end with the Mahayama prayer. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. And may there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Mm.
So thank you and good night, you guys.
Thank you, Janet. Good night, everyone.